from Jakarta. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in English program. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia presents news, actual information, as well as entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our broadcast on shortwave on frequencies of 3325 kilohertz. You can listen to our program at www.voinews.id. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying. Hello listener, welcome back to English Bulletin over RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. In today's edition, we will present to you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by commentary, Today in History, My Indonesia, and News in Brief. We'll continue our program for today with Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. We'll conclude our program for today with Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. Stand by now for the news.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news first dot lines. Indonesian President Joko Widodo again visits quake-hit central Sulawesi. British government offers assistance option for Palu. Those are the lines. Now the news in detail. I'm Dalat Pane. Indonesian President Joko Widodo again visited central Sulawesi, which was severely hit by magnitude 7.4 earthquake and a subsequent tsunami on Wednesday morning. The head of state would review handling of rescue efforts and visit several refugee camps in Palu and Donggala, Bay Mahmudin, a presidential spokesman said. The president was scheduled to visit Petobo residential area, which has disappeared after being shallowed by mud and earthquake, Wirabuana Hospital and Roa-Roa Hotel, and he now returns to Palu again to make sure a swift response in handling natural disaster impacts. Members of the presidential entourage include Coordinating Minister for Human Development and Culture Puan Maharani, Social Affairs Minister Agus Gumiwang, Technology, Research and Higher Education Minister Muhammad Nasir, and Public Works and Public Housing Minister Basuki Hadi Mulyono. The president and entourage returned to Jakarta on Wednesday afternoon. Earlier, President Joko Widodo outlined four priorities in handling efforts to rescue and assist victims of the natural disasters affecting Palu, Donggala, Sigi, and Parigi Mutong District, Central Sulawesi Province. The head of state urged Basarnas, the National Police, the Indonesian military, to increase the number of personnel to have in rescue and evacuation efforts not only in Palu, but also to go deeper to Donggala, Sigi, and Parigi Mutong. The British ambassador to Indonesia, Muajam Malik, in Jakarta on Tuesday said that the British government has prepared several options of assistance that will be sent to Indonesian government in handling earthquake and tsunami in Palu, Central Sulawesi. Previously, the British International Development Minister has agreed allocation of humanitarian aid fund worth 38 billion rupees to Indonesian government. Ambassador Muajim Malik explained that there has been inventoried several options to assist the Indonesian government.
Kami punya beberapa opsi. Jadi kami punya bahan-bahan dalam gudang.
We have several options, so we have some materials on shelter kits in Dubai and Delhi, as well as tents and temporary kitchen, blanket and others that can be given to the victims. We also have communicated with transportation airlines in effort to send materials directly to Palu or big airports such as Makassar or Balikpapan around the emergency area. There are also some military options such as military aircraft and ships that are currently docked in Singapore. We have emergency agencies that can help improvement process which have carried out activities in Indonesia, including Red Cross, PMI, and NGOs. Muajam Malik further explained that the 38 billion rupees assistance is taken from the British state budget for especially humanitarian aid when occurring international disaster. Moreover, to follow up the humanitarian assistance, the British government has also sent special team to coordinate with Indonesian government to have victims in Palu, Central Sulawesi. The head of Data Information Center and Public Relations of National Disaster Mitigation Agency, Sutopo Purwonugroho, said on Thursday, until 13 Western Indonesia time, that 120 foreign tourists have been evacuated due to the earthquake and tsunami in Palu, Donggala, Central Sulawesi. Through a press conference in Jakarta on Tuesday, Sutopo admitted that there are two more foreign tourists are still missing. They are from South Korea and Belgium.
Kami tadi sudah berkoordinasi dengan Kementerian Luar Negeri. Tercatat 122 warga negara asing yang harus dievakuasi dari Palu.
We have coordinated with Foreign Affairs Ministry. There are 122 foreign tourists have to be evacuated from Palu and Donggala. 120 of them has been identified, while other two foreigners from South Korea and Belgium are still missing. Furthermore, Sutopo Purwonugroho said that a South Korean citizen is still missing, may be trapped in the ruins of Roa Roa Hotel in Palu. Meanwhile, a Belgian citizen cannot be contacted. According to Sutopo, the evacuation process of the foreign tourists is coordinated by Foreign Affairs Ministry in cooperation with BNPB, Indonesian Military, Indonesian Police, National Search and Rescue Agency, and other ministries. Sutopo added that foreign tourists must be priority to be evacuated by Hercules helicopter from Palu to Jakarta or Makassar, South Sulawesi. The head of Public Relations Division of Indonesian Police, Inspector General Setio Wasisto, said that 2,143 personnel from all over Indonesia headed to Central Sulawesi to help for rescue and evacuation of the victims who were affected by earthquake and tsunami disaster in the region. Setio Wasisto at the Merdeka Selatan 9 Forum at the Ministry of Communication and Information Technology Building on Tuesday said that the 2,143 personnel consist of Mobile Brigade, Samapta Bayangkara, Health Team, Disaster Victims Identification Team, K9 Sniper Dogs, and there have been sent 6 dogs to search the victims at the ruins.
Tadi sampaikan bahwa ada 2,000 personel dari Polri. Kami sampaikan bahwa
As I said earlier, that there are 2,000 personnel from Indonesian Police. We will send 2,143 police personnel that consist of Mobile Brigade, Samapta Bayangkara, Health Team, Disaster Victim Identification Team, K9 Team, 4 dogs are already sent to have identification in their ruins. South Sulawesi Regional Police also sent 2 dogs. Moreover, Setio said from the total personnel, 600 personnel just entered the disaster area due to their limited transportation to the disaster area. In addition to police personnel, the Indonesian Police Headquarters and Regional Police will also send the Abimanyu 7010 and Bisma 8001 hospital ships that will have treatment for victims, along with other ships that can turn salt water into mineral water. Setio also stated that the police will give deterrent effect for the crime in the area. This news comes to you over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Indonesian Vice President Yusuf Kalla confirmed in Jakarta on Thursday he had met with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu in New York when they attended the annual general session of the United Nations there. Yusuf Kalla said they discussed Palestinian issue and ways to create peace in that country. Yusuf Kalla said in Jakarta on Tuesday that his encounter with Netanyahu was not a secret and pre-arranged meeting. It took place unintentionally when both attended the United Nations annual general session. Kalla added that he cannot avoid to meet Netanyahu because there were 190 heads of state, president and vice presidents, prime minister and etc., and there are many agenda came at the same time. Even if Indonesia and Israel have no diplomatic relations, it does not mean that the heads of state of the two countries may not greet each other when meeting in an international forum. Officials from APEC member economies raced to mitigate the explosion of climate-driven catastrophes that are putting tens of millions of lives in the Asia-Pacific at risk and the retail trading landscape under greater threat. It was stated in a press release issued by the APEC Secretariat, received in Jakarta on Tuesday. Senior disaster management officials accelerated work in APEC to build multi-hazard early warning systems during technical consultations in Kokopo, the capital of Papua New Guinea's East New Britain province. They considered the impact of pervasive disasters ranging from the volcanic eruptions that destroyed the former capital, Rabaul, to Indonesia's Sulawesi earthquake and tsunami. Officials also took into account the increase in extreme weather events due to climate change, which compounds disaster risks region-wide. Telecommunications and information officials in APEC are meanwhile advancing the potential for Internet of Things technology or the application of data collected by a network of devices, such as mobile devices, to optimize the region's disaster monitoring systems at a lower cost. Minister of Agriculture Andi Amran Sulaiman said West Sumatra is the second largest mangosteen producer in Indonesia after West Java. West Sumatra is the second largest mangosteen producer in Indonesia after West Java, whose production was 42,122,000 tons or 26% of the national production. The additional export from West Sumatra, mangosteen export in 2018 is projected to reach 60,000 tons, up 5 times the exports in 2017 recorded at only 9,167 tons. This export represents 38% of the total national mangosteen production in 2018. The minister said for the first time ever, there was West Sumatra businessmen exporting mangosteen and hoped other regions will follow suit. Mangosteen production centers in Indonesia are spread from Sumatra to West Nusa Tenggara. The mangosteen export process must go through a series of activities, starting from preparing plantation, registration, building packaging houses, to arranging export permits. According to him, the export of mangosteen to China is the impact of the closer relations between the two countries. China has decided to reopen its market for Indonesian mangosteen after it stopped importing the commodity for 4 years. Well, listener, that was the news.
Commentary. Comments on actual national and international issues from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, welcome to our commentary entitled Brexit Between Ideality and Reality. After more than 1 year of the referendum that resulted in Britain out of the European Union, or Brexit, the two sides continue to negotiate. The talks are expected to pave the way so that Brexit does not to make economic relations between the United Kingdom and European Union member states fall apart. Michael Barnier, who was appointed as European Union Brexit chief negotiator, recently met Spain's Minister of Industry, Trade and Tourism, Morato Royes. As written on his Twitter account, Michael Barnier implies his view that Brexit must not damage the economic order of the European Union countries. He said that the European Union continues to strive so that the former exit of the British government will still ensure good economic cooperation. In fact, the referendum did not necessarily make Britain leave the European Union. It takes a long time to prepare both sides. Politically, some European Union countries want Brexit not to make domestic politics shaken. Various approaches in negotiations were also considered so that the British Prime Minister Theresa May would not go deeper into internal political conflicts. As it is known, there has been a difference between Theresa May and two Brexit supporters that led to a government crisis. David Davis and Boris Johnson, two of Brexit's main supporters in the Theresa May government, have resigned in protest. When negotiations take place with the European Union, Prime Minister Theresa May must be able to ensure that her government is in a stable and safe condition. Theresa May's political efforts
were carried out at the Conservative Party Congress took place 3 days ago. Theresa is facing a tough test, both domestically and out. The grace period until the signing of the agreement between the United Kingdom and the European Union in November will really determine whether the Brexit referendum decision will run smoothly or cause new problems both for Britain and European Union countries. This is where ideology interferes with reality. That was commentary for today.
Today in History, presenting you historical facts of the day.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with Today in History, a regular segment which brings back people and events from this date in the past as recorded in history. We start from an event which occurred on October 3, 1932, Iraq gains its independence from England. During its history, Iraq was part of the Sultanate of Oman. Iraq was then under British rule during World War I. In 1920, Iraq was under the administration of the British Empire. On October 3, 1932, Iraq gained its independence from Britain and stood as a kingdom. In 1958, the form of monarchy was abandoned and the country was then declared as the Republic of Iraq. Since 1968 to 2003, Iraq was controlled by the Ba'ath Socialist Party under the regime of Saddam Hussein. The US invaded Iraq in 2003 to topple Saddam Hussein and was replaced by the government with multi-party parliamentary system, which later formed the government based on the result of the parliamentary general election. We turn to the AV-2A4, the first rocket that penetrates outer space. October 3, 1942 became the initial milestone in the history of space flight. On that day, for the first time, the rocket managed to dart through the atmosphere and reach the space. This is the first human-made object that made it into space. Germany was the first country to succeed the space mission. Germany, which was then led by Adolf Hitler, aggressively developed long-range ballistic missiles. The rocket, called a V-2A4 weighing 2 tons, designed by German scientist Werner von Braun. His creation was internationally recognized and later used in World War II. And today's segment of Today in History with a historical event which occurred on October 3, 1990, the unification of West Germany and East Germany. This became the beginning of the founding of the Federal Republic of Germany. Previously, West Germany and East Germany split for 45 years after the defeat of Germany in World War II. At that time, Germany was divided into 4 power zones, namely the zones belonging to the United States, Britain, France, and the Soviet Union. But in the end, the zone narrowed to 2 parts, namely the Western Zone controlled by America and its allies, and Eastern Zones controlled by the Soviet Union. In 1949, West Germany and East Germany established a separate country,
with different forms of government and economic systems. In 1961, the Soviets established the Berlin Wall to prevent East Germans from fleeing to West Germany. World political change in the late 1980s then opened the opportunity for the unification of West Germany and East Germany. Listener, that was Today in History. Thanks for listening.
Indonesia in Economy, International Politics, Sports, Environment, and Pancasila, only on Indonesiaku. My Indonesia.
Welcome back to My Indonesia. Today we'll talk about Indonesia is to develop the disaster financing instrument. The Indonesian government will develop disaster financing instruments in order to support rapid and appropriate disaster management in the regions. This was stated by Indonesian Minister of Finance Sri Mulyani, escorted by Antara News Agency on Monday, October the 1st. Minister Sri Mulyani said the Ministry of Finance is thinking about how to develop a financing instrument for the region, like insurance, related to the frequency of disasters occurring in various regions. The minister will review and hold consultation with other countries to create new instruments related to disaster management financing. This will also be discussed at the International Monetary Fund and World Bank 2018 annual meetings in Nusa Dua, Bali on October 8 to 14. According to Sri Mulyani, in the annual meeting, the government will gather experts so that Indonesia can create new instruments between regions that can be included in the state budget. In addition, it will also be arranged how to carry out assistances for an affected area directly. Regarding the earthquake and tsunami disaster in the cities of Palu and Donggala, Central Sulawesi, Minister of Finance Sri Mulyani has provided ready-to-use funds for the National Disaster Management Agency BNPB worth 560 billion rupiah. Therefore, BNPB can carry out its duties in emergency situations. Ready-to-use funds are the funds that are always available and reserved by the government, which can be used during disaster emergencies until the emergency situation ends. Minister Sri Mulyani also assessed the importance of budget and logistical strengthening of institutions that are often directly involved in disaster management, such as BNPB, the TNI, and the Indonesian police. According to the minister, this will enable Indonesia to have the capacity to manage disasters. When viewed from a geographical location, it seems that Indonesia needs to anticipate disasters continuously. That was My Indonesia.
Here is news in brief. I'm Dalat Pane. Indonesian President Joko Widodo again visited Central Sulawesi, which was severely hit by a magnitude 7.4 earthquake and a subsequent tsunami on Wednesday morning. The British ambassador to Indonesia, Muazzam Malik, in Jakarta on Tuesday, said that the British government has prepared several options of assistance that will be sent to Indonesian government in handling earthquake and tsunami in Palu, Central Sulawesi. The head of Data Information Center and Public Relations of National Disaster Mitigation Agency, Sutopo Purwonugroho, said on Thursday, until 13 Western Indonesia time, that 120 foreign tourists have been evacuated due to the earthquake and tsunami in Palu, Donggala, Central Sulawesi. The head of Public Relations Division of Indonesian Police, Inspector General Setio Wasisto, said that 2,143 personnel from all over Indonesia headed to Central Sulawesi to help for rescue and evacuation of the victims who affected by earthquake and tsunami disaster in the region. Vice President Yusuf Kalla confirmed in Jakarta on Tuesday he had met with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu in New York when they attended the annual general session of the United Nations there. Officials from AIPAC member economies raised to mitigate the explosion of climate-driven catastrophes that are putting tens of millions of lives in the Asia-Pacific at risk and the retail trading landscape under a greater threat. Minister of Agriculture Andir Amran Sulaiman said West Sumatra is the second largest mangosteen producer in Indonesia after West Java. Well, listener, that was news in brief.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listeners, welcome to Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary arts, fine arts and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we will introduce you to a typical food from Solo, Central Java. Stay with us, RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, which can be heard through streaming at www.voinews.id or application RRI Play on your Android. Listeners, one of Solo's famous souvenirs is serabi. This Solo original food has been existed since 1920s. The taste of Solo serabi is delicious, and its taste never changes. This is one of Solo's main souvenirs. In addition to serabi, there is also food which often becomes souvenir, namely ledre pisang lawean or ledre lawean. Listeners, ledre lawean has become typical food since Indonesia was in the kingdom period. At the time, ledre is the food of Solo nobles, so it can be said that ledre pisang lawean is the legendary food of Solo. People say that the food has existed since 1984. The figure who made the legendary ledre is Sri Martini, who lived in Lawean, Solo. Because of its maker for the first time in Lawean, the food is well known as ledre lawean. Listeners, in the past, Solo nobles enjoyed ledre while drinking tea. Today, ledre becomes snack for all communities, including state guests at the Star Hotels. Ledre lawean has ingredients from banana and coconut glutinous rice. The founder of ledre, Sri Martini, concurrently the owner of ledre lawean, makes a bit changes in cooking the process of ledre. In the past, ledre was made from raw glutinous rice, which was roasted on pan and added with coconut milk. After being cooked, the dough was added with banana as topping. Today, ledre lawean is from cooked glutinous rice. This is conducted to make cooking process faster. to make ledre pisang lewean is easy. The main ingredients are glutinous rice, coconut milk, and banana. Glutinous rice, which has been soaked, is cooked and then added with thick coconut milk. After it is well cooked, it is mixed with grated young coconut. The ripe glutinous rice is roasted on pan while being pushed to become flat. Then it is filled with banana, which has been refined. Besides banana, it can be filled with other fruits. Listeners, ledre has savory and a bit sweet flavor. The sweet flavor is from banana, not sugar. As the time passes by, ledre remains existing even though some modern and unique foods keep popping up. Thus, currently, ledre pisang lawean is adjusting with buyers' taste by adding other toppings such as cheese and chocolate. That was our segment Indonesian Wonder for today featuring ledre pisang lawean. Thank you for listening.
To speak Bahasa Indonesia easily and correctly, we present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language on the radio, which introduces some Indonesian vocabulary and guides you to use them in a conversation. The segment of Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia is a cooperation of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with the Language Development Agency, the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture. Today's topic is Saya Senang, or in English, I'm happy or I'm glad, so stay tuned. Next, I will give you an example of conversation about Saya Senang, or in English, I'm happy. Tony and Joko's family are traveling to Parangtritis. Tony is enjoying sunset.
Aku senang bisa melihat matahari terbenam di sini.
Wah, syukurlah kamu senang.
After the conversation, I will introduce some expressions related to the topic today. Saya senang, or in English, I'm happy. I will say each word slowly and twice. You can follow after me. Saya senang. Saya senang. In English, I'm happy. Saya bisa melihat matahari terbenam. Saya bisa melihat matahari terbenam. In English, I can see sunset. Di sini. Di sini. In English, here. Syukurlah kamu senang. Syukurlah kamu senang. I'm glad that you are happy. In a dialogue, you listened that Tony expressed his happiness by saying, Aku senang bisa melihat matahari terbenam di sini. The expression, saya senang, in the context, is used to dedicate happiness. Let's follow some other examples. Saya senang bertemu kalian di sini. Saya senang bertemu kalian di sini. Aku senang pergi ke pantai dengan kalian. Aku senang pergi ke pantai dengan kalian. In a daily conversation, Indonesian people usually say the word senang with pronunciation seneng. An expression aku seneng is the same with aku senang or saya senang. Next, if you feel relieved, you can say syukurlah. For example, syukurlah kamu baik-baik saja. Syukurlah dia selamat.
Listener, before we end today's Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia for your listening clearly, let's follow again the conversation.
Aku senang bisa melihat matahari terbenam di sini.
Wah, syukurlah kamu senang.
The exercise for today is to describe the disease you have suffered by mentioning name of the disease, when, how long have you been sick, where did you take for treatment, and etc. For example, nama saya Danu. Saya pernah sakit gigi 2 bulan yang lalu selama 2 minggu. Saya merasa pusing dan berobat di rumah sakit Medika. Saya harus minum obat 3 kali sehari. Well, listener, that was Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia for today's edition. Hopefully, this edition can be useful for those who want to know more about Bahasa Indonesia. See you tomorrow with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with Music Corner, a segment which presents you Indonesian music, either traditional or modern one. For today's Music Corner, I will present you some beautiful songs from Dira Sugandi, an Indonesian singer who has received many achievements. She has ever held collaboration with some international artists such as David Foster, Kate Martin, Andrea Bocelli, and Diane Warren. The singer, who was graduated from vocal performance of Pelita Harapan University, actively performed jazz music in foreign countries with world jazz musicians such as Incognito, a band from England. To initiate our segment of Music Corner, let's listen to a nostalgic pop song from Dira Sugandi featuring J Flo entitled Unbeatable. Happy listening.
If you're feeling stronger, clap your hands. I can be that hole in the universe. I can be that joy that you deserve. I'm singing love. If you're feeling lonely, tag your friends. Let's take it higher now.
You give me the fire.
Listeners, you have just listened to the song entitled Unbeatable by Dira Sugandi featuring Jay Flo. The song was one of the official songs of the Asian Games 2018. Her duet performance at closing ceremony of Asian Games last September got appreciation among spectators and people who watched the event. Moreover, South Korean boy band Super Junior or Suju invited Dira to collaborate. It was not the first time for Dira to draw attention of international communities. The singer with complete name Dira Julianti Sugandi has a signing talent since she was childhood. Since she entered musical industry in 2000, Dira Sugandi has also ever collaborated with international musicians such as Jason Mraz and David Foster. In 2010, she released an album Something About the Girl, one of titles of the album No More Tears. It's mostly liked by jazz fans in England and Japan. Well, listeners, let me dedicate you to the song from Dira Sugandi entitled No More Tears. Enjoy the song.
I'm through. No more tears.
Listeners, that was the song entitled No More Tears by Dira Sugandi. The song has directly received appreciation from jazz music lovers. The album of Something About the Girl by Dira Sugandi has occupied rank 7th for Soul Album in England in 2010 and included nominees named for 2010 Soul Track Award. The album Something About the Girl was the first album of Dira that was released on March 8, 2010 by Expansion Records. 80% of music and lyrics of the album released by Jane Paul Monique, producer, song composer, guitarist, vocalist, and leader of Incognito Band. In Indonesia, a woman who born in Bandung on 29th July 1979, well known through her performance at Java Jazz Festival. Well, listeners, to end our segment of Music Corner, let us listen to the last two songs from Dira Sugandi, entitled Pelangi and Lamaleras Dream. Happy listening and see you in the next other editions of Music Corner.
Voice of Indonesia. Let's make the world green.
Eagles fly low. Hello, Amma.
Thank you for listening to English program from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. You can listen to our broadcast on shortwave on frequencies of 3325 kHz. You can also tune at voinews.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, RRI Building, 4th floor, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta. P.O. Box 1157 Jakarta 10110 Indonesia. You can also join us on Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter at VOI Indonesia. Our Instagram, voice_of_Indonesia. RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying.